Esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm.
Yes. Well, hello, everybody. How you doing? Chris Jordan here, coming at you live from the studio in Austin, Texas. Get ready, folks. We will be having many weeks of pre-recorded content coming at you very soon. I will be on the road in Pennsylvania, and then Orlando for 2 weeks, then my beloved Vegas, and then I'll be back. But before then, we will be going to the Falk Monster Festival next weekend, everybody. Coming up in the second part of this episode, we'll be talking with our good friend Craig Woolheater, founder of Crypto Mundo, as well as founder of the Texas Bigfoot Museum in Jefferson, Texas. We will be talking with him about Falk Monster Festival, what it's all about, some of the speakers that'll be there this year, why he has been putting on events for as long as he's been putting them on, almost 20 years. It's pretty remarkable. We'll be talking with him here in just a little while about that. Very much looking forward to being a sponsor at that event again this year for our second time. Very much gonna have some fun there. It's always great. It's a good crowd of people. In the studio with us tonight will be Billy Joe Kane. We'll be talking with him about the new developments.
Yeah.
The new developments from Radical Imp, the Education Foundation, with Trapped, a VR detective story. We'll be talking about their Appleseed program, how you can help sponsor a kit like this to go to schools, go to churches, things like that, and help teach your local communities about human trafficking and what it is right there in their backyard. There's a lot of misconceptions when it comes to human trafficking that we'll be getting into, as well as the wild legalities behind it, with Billy Joe Kane, as we always do. Of course, before we do that, let's stop on by the Facebook page and let's take a look at some of the news that's fit to print, everybody. The news is always brought to you by our Facebook group. Stop on by, join the conversation. That is where you can find all of our fun stuff that we post regularly. Oh my God, that took me to the page. Hold on. Let me get to the group. Ah, there it is, my group. Haha. So, out of futurism.com, what does the moon smell like? My favorite response was the inside of a moon suit. Pretty logical. I said like nothing because the moon has no atmosphere.
The ISS stinks like all. I can only imagine what the moon suit smells like.
Well, I mean, ugh. You know, it's kind of like they have air scrubbers, but that's not what they're for.
It's not getting rid of the stink.
Will Liam posted out of space.com, two newfound black holes are the closest ever to Earth and like nothing seen before. That was a pretty wild article. Out of Field and Stream, Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries has identified a strange looking, quote, chupacabra. It ended up, of course, being a breed of coyote that was horribly stricken by mange. I have on my shelf behind me my chupacabra bone from an investigation done by King Gerhardt. We'll be having him on soon to talk about that. Out of CBSnews.com, mysterious spiral that looks like hazy glowing galaxy. And as I said in the post, I'm really tired of them calling these mysterious spirals. Like, we're pretty well positive that they're, you know, falling rocket engines now. Like, they're spotted pretty regularly. Nothing strange about them. That is a prime example of sensationalistic headline. And another out of futurism.com, new smart glasses tell you what to say on dates using ChatGPT-4. That is just some of the news that's fit to print, folks, right there on our Facebook group. Stop on by, join the conversation.
I saw a video that I cannot find anywhere, and it was called Blink, and it was a short that did that, except this was years and years ago.
Huh.
So it's like, it, there's been like test runs of that kind of stuff. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's pretty
most likely thing to say. And it would look at their eyes and see if their pupils were changing and all the micro expressions.
Yeah. Yeah.
All possible.
Exactly. Exactly. Folks, the voice, the disembodied voice you are hearing right now is the founder of Radical Imp, the Education Foundation, our good friend, Billy Joe Kane. Welcome back to the studio, my friend.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
I love having you in the studio. You trace right back to like literally the first 100 episodes of Dudes and Beer. And where I was working the Classic Game Fest here in Austin and ran across you in your booth with literally the first iteration of this.
Yeah, before it was an actual app. It was so I'd spent the first year trying to understand how people actually interacted with virtual reality. So we had built a bunch of what we called like a lab. So people would get controllers and I would watch how they would utilize them. We had some really cool interactions and I was convinced that was all going to be in our app. But when people put a headset on, they were so not used to that experience that and they couldn't understand what a controller was for and why they would do that. You put the headset on in the hand of controllers.
Yeah.
It was jarring to them. So we had to start taking features out till it was just like, this works for everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, so back in the day, man, you saw the vision. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
To see it now, because I remember you brought it to the studio. It was Steven's birthday.
Yeah, that's true.
It was his birthday episode, and he got to go through it, all that kind of stuff. And I remember, that being the case. And even whenever
it took forever to set up, we had to use a computer, and there was cables. It was on the HTC Live. It was ridiculous.
And I mean, I remember I had a decent time with it because I'd done some previous VR stuff,
right?
VR experiences in the music world, where things were like you could basically step into like Abbey Road rehearsal studios and play around. It was pretty cool stuff.
It really is.
But to see where you've come now with this, it's beautiful, man. It really is.
Thank you. And if anyone would understand it, it would be you. You have seen every iteration. And as you know, this like you were saying earlier, now we have these boxes that we literally send out.
Yeah.
The box contains every single thing that you would need to educate people about the topic. Comes with the Oculus Quest 1 headset, which these things have gone down from $300, which when you would buy them brand new, they would come with controllers, and people break the controllers and buying, and you can't buy new ones.
No.
So they just generally upgrade to a Quest 2 and this thing goes in the garbage. And so now people are selling these on eBay for $40. So I can get these headsets out to people really easily. And then to use it, you can only use one at a time when you're teaching people, but to be able to buy, you know, 5 headsets for a couple of $100, it's insane. So we can now get this product out. And the reason that we can do that is that we design it to not need controllers.
Yeah.
So you can start the app easily by just pressing one button on the headset. And then when you're finished with it, you just turn it off, turn it back on. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Because you've basically gone through and sideloaded this.
That's right.
It's the only software on there. It's not like you've got to, like typical, go into a menu and choose what you're going to play. Like this is the only thing that loads is that.
It's pretty much right. So it works really easily. And like you said, we sideload, but we use the official Meta development kit. So it's like MetaQuest developer hub that you can download on there. So it's doesn't hurt your device. And if you wanted to install it on your own, you can just factory reset it and get it started back up again.
Yeah. And once again, the accessibility of this for people now is phenomenal. And I think more than anything, man, when I saw you show up with that box at my front door today,
it's crazy.
The thing is, now it's an actual product.
Yeah, that's what it definitely feels like, a product,
you know. Whereas before, and nothing. We've had numerous side conversations about this as iterations have happened. And part of the hurdle was getting people to understand the need for the product and what it was, and understanding the medium of connection between virtual reality and instruction.
Right. It's what we found. So kind of just to give people an idea of what's going on. So the device actually runs a it's a completely interactive narrative story where you you get to meet you embody this young girl, and she tells you how her life was affected by trafficking and how she met somebody online. They took advantage of her need for affection and love. So she's posting on her social media, you know, the problems she's having with her family, and someone comes up and performs what they call an interview. And so they find out what your weaknesses are and what you need, and then they promise those things to you, and then of course they trick you, etc. And so this learning or trying to come up with the story for this thing that would be able to be that would connect with people, it took me about a year to go around and talk to people and make sure that I really understood the psychological aspects of it, because that was really the thing. And the more that I've learned about trafficking, the more I learned that everything is about vulnerabilities. Everything. Yeah. And so if you can't acknowledge or recognize that you have vulnerabilities, you're not going to be able to stay safe, and you're not going to know what's going on with other people. And so this experience makes you confront your own vulnerabilities. Yeah, and you're showing on the website how you can get yourself a box.
It's so fantastic, man. It just to see this on the website is so great.
Oh, thank
so
you.
Great. It's
thank
fantastic.
You.
And you know, let's go ahead and get into, I guess, the horrible world of trafficking real Ugh. Quick, Billy. One of the things that I brought up that we were talking about beforehand, y'all have recently joined with your first Native American tribe as part of your Appleseed program.
We are so excited about that. I actually, as you recall, I had gone to Standing Rock, mm-hmm. and while I was there, I listened to the Native American leaders of a number of different tribes or nations. And, they were talking about, you know, how much America has failed on all of its promises to our indigenous. And then they said, yeah, slightly. And then they said that, they knew that everyone that had come there is going to go home. And they're like, will you please remember us and go make a difference when you get home, whatever that difference is. And then the next thing they started talking about was murdered and missing indigenous women. And I was like, okay, I knew I needed to do this, but that pushed me over the edge.
Yeah.
And so, knowing that, that's when my wife and I decided that we were going to sell the house and use the money to start the nonprofit instead of another video game studio to make more SpongeBob games.
Yeah.
And, so, having met with a number of Native American groups, we finally got the first one over the finish line, and they are the Puyallup tribe, and they're up in Tacoma, Washington, or Spokane, Washington. I'm sorry, and they have a number of groups that they want us to work with once we get going with them, and they just got their headsets and they just got them all set up, and they're sending them out to their big group, and then we have. I don't want to go into the list of names of the other groups, because if it doesn't happen, I always feel bad about that. But we are working with a number of different Native American groups. And as I was describing to you, you know, one of the things that's really difficult for us is finding someone that really feels like they need a product like this to make a difference, and they're willing to take a chance. Native American groups are having such a problem with murdered and missing indigenous women and children that it's unbelievable. And so they are recognizing that the training that they have been doing over the years is not making a difference. It is not changing things. And so they're ready and willing to make a change and do something different. And that's what we're really looking for, is places that have been trying to make a difference and realizing that they need something else. And we want to be that product that helps them.
Well, and you know, That has been a point of conversation between us for a long time, is that point of understanding that the curricula that exists, not that there aren't some things out there for the hotel industry,
true,
that kind of stuff. I mean, even in schools, it may be the fact that it's mentioned and then it's gone like 40 minutes later. You know, mm-hmm. there may be like a topical segment of a day of training for teachers, you know, whenever it's talking about inappropriate touching and, you know, be careful of this. Keep your eye out for abused kids. These are some of the signs, that kind of stuff. But it's not like
it's not thorough.
Yeah,
it's really not.
Yeah.
my partner, David Deeds, or Dr. David Deeds, he just got his doctorate in education. He actually did his capstone work on training inside of university level training. So yeah. we posted his capstone up on our page and did some AI artwork for it, just so you'll know. Cause so we were just talking about that earlier, to have some filler, wanted to have some pretty stuff.
Right.
But the problem, if you will, is that people don't want to teach about trafficking unless they know the topic backwards and forwards. Yeah. So they're almost afraid of it. And so he teaches in two universities. He teaches criminal justice in at College of DuPage and Governor State University up near Chicago. And the people that taught it, they taught it because there was a couple of paragraphs about it inside of their book, but no one is making that mandatory in their university training, even for the police. And they say this is the second largest, you know, crime in the world on the planet, and they're not teaching our police about this. Like, I sit on coalitions and we have nurses that, you know, they're in there and you're like going, you know, what brought you into this field? And they're like, well, after I graduated, my first year's training that I had to take actually included something about trafficking. And we're like, the whole coalition is like going,
what?
You didn't learn anything about this the whole time you were in medical school? And they're like, no, it's not taught. And so if it's not happening in criminal justice and it's not happening in, you know, in nursing and medical school places, which 88% of victims say they see a provider while they're being trafficked and they're not being seen literally for this. It's like, if you think that if it's not happening in there, what do you think this is happening in schools and high schools and middle schools? No, it's like they can't even talk about sex ed, much less what's going on with trafficking. And I want to say that trafficking is a bullseye of all the badness, you know, whether it's manipulation or abuse or sexual abuse or psychological abuse. It's like trafficking is like this crazy, crazy bullseye.
It is the nexus of horrifying evil.
Right. And so these schools are supposed to – I know. They're supposed to be reporting sexual assault and sexual abuse and, you know, those kind of things happening in schools. And they don't even know what trafficking is. I mean, we've been to schools and, you know, trained kids on our VR experience, and the kids actually – disclose what has been happening in their school in the previous years. I mean, we had two children that had been – well, the kids that had come out and done the training with us, they actually disclosed that there were two kids the previous year that had been trafficked. One was being sex trafficked by her stepfather, and the other was taken to Mexico for an operation, and their parents sold one of her kidneys. And the teachers that were in the room were just like – oh, my God. And then they started running in their head. They were like, I should have thought about that. Oh, my gosh. She had this sign and this sign and this sign and this sign. And the other one had this sign and this sign. And they're like, how did we not know? And we find this constantly. We have a group that's in Montana that uses our software, and they go and they train bankers to look for labor trafficking inside of spreadsheets, and they can find it. It's weird the way that, I mean, there's all sorts of techniques. I've taken a class on it. But they also go and they train at hospitals. And so they say they take our VR thing inside of the emergency room to train these people, and they get about 5 minutes into it, and they are what was they describe as ugly crying. I mean, they are just gasping for air.
Wow.
And they're like, there was someone here yesterday that I should have recognized, and it just changes their lives. So it's like we have been getting fantastic feedback from on the job stuff. And same thing with police and, you know, all the trades.
It is definitely, I will say, just in the time that I've known you, and maybe it's the fact that I'm more aware because I know you, and it's a cause I'm behind now, but I traveled for a while before you and I met, and I definitely did not see the trafficking signs the way I do now.
Right.
Where you go into the hotel bathroom and you'll see them on the inside of stalls.
It's shocking how important those are. I mean, like you after you've seen them, you're like going, oh, okay, you know, another sticker. So many people, whether they're still a victim or are a survivor, and there's a lot of thoughts on what you call somebody, but I mean, they're all survivors if they're still alive, for crying out loud. But they say that they never saw anything you know, and no stickers, no help thing. People don't even ask them if they're okay. It's like literally like they're invisible. And you're just like, I can't even imagine that. But having a sticker, you know, somewhere that says, look, there's someone that wants to help you.
Yeah.
That really is a lifeline for them. So it's something just as simple as a sticker.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And once again, just to raise the awareness, I think, because you were saying a minute ago, the police don't really do a whole lot, things like that. I think most of that, as we've discussed numerous times before, it comes from the fact that people misunderstand what trafficking is. I think most police, whenever they hear the term trafficking, the first thing they think of is human smuggling. Like, oh, well, that should be, you know, that's Customs and Border Patrol.
Right.
You know, that's.
Or if it is trafficking, they think that it's a federal offense and that the feds are supposed to do something about it, when in actuality, it's a local law enforcement problem. And one of the problems that you have, and I should probably describe what trafficking is legally, all that stuff. But they know that if they go and they bust that farmer that's, you know, labor trafficking all these immigrants that are on their land, it's like that person, they know them personally. So it's like this really messed up societal, you know, thing. And we're all built in this world economy where we're on a race to the bottom to get the cheapest labor, the cheapest everything to put the, you know, to make the most profit without considering, you know, the human cost. I mean, I could go on and on. But so to describe what trafficking is, so there's a law in the United States called the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. It was passed in 2000. And it describes three requirements for something to be considered trafficking. And that is something has an action and a means and a purpose. And those are confusing words. But an action is basically having control over a person. The means would be somebody being mean to you almost, really. So it's like they force you, they trick you, or they coerce you into doing something. And that something, the purpose, the action, means, and purpose. The purpose is to take advantage of you financially for through your labor or through sex, which is also labor if you think about it.
Yeah.
So it's like action, means, and purpose. They get you to provide them value by your effort against your will. So that's trafficking. People that are sex workers, that's not trafficking if they've decided to do it themselves. You know, there's any number of things, but they get tricked into the stuff. And one of the big ones, and I've done a ton of research on domestic servitude recently because we're doing another VR product on that. And that has been so enlightening. But what happens is people come over to America, they get a visa through a recruiter. And these recruiters promise to get you a job in America. And what they do is they charge you a ton of money so that you can, so they'll get you the visa. They'll get you the job. They'll get you a flight over to America.
Yep.
And then basically they extort you for, you know, an exorbitant amount of interest, all that stuff. And in fact, a lot of countries, people mortgage their homes or their land, you know, to cover those recruiting fees. And then when they get to America, surprisingly, the people that are supposed to be their employers take their passport away from them. And then they threaten to call the police and have them taken away. Or it goes from an 8-hour a day job to 16 hours a day. And the person that is, that has the visa or has come over on a visa, they can't change jobs while they're here. They have to go back and get a whole new visa to start another job, and which, of course, goes back to the recruiter, and the recruiter charges them a whole bunch more money, and now they're in debt, you know, forever.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Not to mention
in a cycle of servitude.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, labor trafficking. And, of course, you know, sometimes sex trafficking gets involved in all that stuff as well. It's bananas. And apparently, you know, one of my advisors, he's done a ton of research on the visa system. And he said that during COVID, it got worse. It made it harder for people to change jobs. So it just made trafficking that much worse.
Wow.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, a lot of people that were being sex trafficked, they were put into incredibly risky situations during COVID as well. So,
yeah,
crazy. It's an awful topic. It really is.
Yeah.
But, you know, the things that we want people to do is just, you know, pay attention to their own vulnerabilities and recognize when they're put themselves in a situation. Like if somebody runs away from home, you know, you're going to need a place to stay eventually. And survival sex is like the number one thing. And then you're trading your body for sex. And then of course somebody has something on top of you.
Yeah.
And then that could lead to just horrible stuff. And these people are professionals. This is their job. They literally hang out in places where people that are having these vulnerabilities are going to be exhibiting them, like at a bus station or, you know, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And they just look for somebody that's
bus
weak.
Station, shopping malls.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Places where you can go hang out for 6-7 hours and nobody's going to bug you.
And these people can see your weakness.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, a lion can see the weakest antelope, and they go and they perform what is known as an interview. And they are looking for, you know, oh, you're from out of town. Oh, you don't have friends here in town. Oh, you're hungry. You haven't had anything to eat for a while. It's like, if you can just get people to acknowledge that they have vulnerabilities. I mean, even when you're having problems, you know, feeding your family, or you don't have a job, you might be tempted to go do something risky.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, there'll be a job that's like, wow, I can make $10,000 a month doing absolutely nothing. You're like going, yeah, maybe that's not quite as good as you think it is. There might be a catch in there. So you have to acknowledge that you have these vulnerabilities. And that's probably the biggest thing that can teach somebody.
Yeah.
You know, just pay attention. If you realize that you're making some bad decisions because of some financial situation in your life, you're like, maybe I should start paying extra attention to how I'm making my decisions.
Well, and even, you know, as the parent of a young child, I remember, and we've talked about this probably every time I've had you on, the situation with my niece that happened many years ago on social media. Like, I saw it happen in front of my eyes, where a dude who ended up being a guy in his mid-30s, you know, my niece had lost a couple friends to drunk drivers. She lost one to suicide. We just all kinds of things happened. And this guy was basically like, hey, you know, if you ever need to talk or anything like that, don't hesitate to come, you know. And there was just something about it that skeeved me out. And I called my brother and I was like, hey, man, you looked at her timeline today? Because you really should. There's this dude on here that, like, I don't know. He's just talking from my experience as a youth minister, not really talking the way that a concerned parent
that is
of a friend.
Yeah, you could tell it's inappropriate.
Yeah, you know, like if it was like one of her friend's parents, it would have been approached in a different way than the way this dude approached it. And my brother started deep diving into this dude's timeline. And yeah, he had like a couple hundred friends, most of them under the age of 20, most of them between the ages of 15 and 19.
Yeah.
And he messaged him. Like directly was like, hey, I see you commented on my daughter's timeline. You need to go away now.
I had my daughter put up a LinkedIn profile, and within 24 hours, she had a guy creeping on her. And I think she was 16 or something when we put that thing up. And I was just like, please, what are you talking about?
You know, I'm not going to lie. We had a scare with my son all of a week ago.
I believe it.
He loves his games, loves his tablet. We have parental permissions on the tablet for purchases, things like that, that kind of stuff. But if one of the games that you've already given permission to whenever you purchased it has a team function that you don't know about.
Teams, chats, friending,
and
following.
And that was it. He was sitting there and... Hey, you know, don't get me wrong. He's 5 years old. He's got his imaginary friends. He talks with mouse, all kinds of stuff.
Gotcha.
You know, and it's pretty much, there's just a dialogue all day long, with the boy.
That's awesome.
It's great. But this wasn't his typical dialogue, you know, where he's talking himself through his game. And I was like, who are you talking to? And he's like, my team. I was like, what?
You're like,
what do you mean
what?
Your team?
There's teams in that.
And so, yeah, we had to have a stern conversation and get rid of the game,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. But Yeah, it's just that easy, and all it takes is somebody on the team recognizing that, well, that dude sounds like he's five. Hey, buddy.
These people are patient, too.
Yeah.
They keep records of people. They learn everything about you, what time you're awake, you know, what city that you're in, when you get off of school. It's really just disgusting to find out what it is that they do. And they, like I said, they're patient. You remember we talked to Chong, and she had a guy that she fell in love with, and her family that met him. He came and ate dinner, and he was going to take her away to go meet his family to get married. And then wham, takes her and sells her off to a trafficking group. It's insane how well organized some of these people are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of the things that we try to get people to understand in our online course, which, of course, is we have Human Trafficking Essentials. We have a free version, or you can choose your own price. We have a certificate version that we guarantee anyone will accept. And then we just, and this is, I'm so excited about this, we now have Bellhaven University actually provides PLC credit. So you can actually get university credit from our same course. And then I see you're on the page. So the Texas Hospitality course just became live. So now you can actually, you can learn what it is you're supposed to know if you're an employee in the Texas hospitality industry. So if you have more than 10 beds, you should, all of your employees within 90 days of employment should be getting trained. And it's an annual requirement. But nobody's doing that either, honestly, because there's no there's no teeth to that law, which is, again, just another challenge, and we'll get there eventually.
We have numerous laws in place for sweatshops. We have numerous laws in place for, making sure that immigrants are not taken advantage of in kitchens, all kinds of things.
The laws are there.
The sad thing? Not really enforced.
No.
Not really enforced.
No, look around. I mean, like, it's illegal everywhere.
Literally, and open your eyes.
And then this is one of the things that's really just, I don't even understand how this is possible, but they talk about, all these people that are being rescued from trafficking because they do these big operations with the FBI and everywhere, working with local law enforcement. They're not saving people. They are arresting them, and those people get right back out on the streets. They are not putting them in safe houses. They are not. There's not enough beds. There's no beds for men.
Yeah.
In America, there's nowhere to go. If you're a young man, a boy, there's nowhere to be.
Yeah.
And it's a disaster. And, I don't know if I had told you about this, but Dave runs. Yeah, I think I told you. Dave runs a human trafficking hater channel on YouTube, and he has a TikTok one. So now he's got millions of views and millions of likes. And
God, I love that guy.
I know, and it's crazy. He puts these. I mean, they're amazing pieces, and what you get is these drive-by likes, and that's it. They'll put some time into watching them. They really like them if they're super short, like 2 minutes long, and they can click like. Trying to get those people to actually take a free course.
Oh, or no, trying to convert that.
To free. I'm like, we have the best online course. It's super cool. It's interactive. It works on your browser, on your phone. It's done in little short bites. Every time we teach you something, we let you practice with it. I mean, it's like really amazing. I can't get people to take our course.
Does it incorporate Candy Crush?
No, but if I need to put a match 3 in there to get somebody to use it, maybe that's what I'll wind up doing. I've done match 3 games before.
Well, I mean, making it into an interactive quiz game or something like that, that is like the boundary leap, especially when you're talking, because I mean, Mike Turber, my guest, he's like, dude, you need to be on the TikTok, man. I'm telling you right now, like, that's where the UFO UAP community is.
How do you get them off the TikTok?
But it's also one of those. How do you engage and convert that audience?
I have yet to see how anybody does it,
because the engagement,
at least in my field,
the engagement is there. Obviously.
Yeah, and they're putting the views time are in, they're there. Watching the videos.
The views are there. It's putting it up. The question is, how do you get that to convert? And if you're a listener out there and you got an idea for Billy,
please bring it on.
How they can convert this, if you're a TikTok phenom and you know how to do it, like, help him out, man. I like to think I've been doing my part for the last 6 years.
We've got followers, we've got video, we've got time on there, we've got likes, but you don't get their email addresses. You don't get anything.
No, no, no. You don't get to curate information from it.
You get no access to your followers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And then how do you get them off the site to go do something? I don't care about selling t-shirts or anything.
Yeah, yeah. How do you get the outbound click?
Yeah.
I want to give your stuff.
Give you free information. Yeah. And that's another irritating thing about this field is that there's this concept that human trafficking education is a commodity, that it's all the same. Like, I can get it for free from so-and-so. I can get it from over here. Like, going, look, man, it is not the same. There are no national standards about what you're supposed to teach people.
Yeah.
There's no state standards what you're supposed to teach people. Yeah. I mean, in certain situations, there are, and in certain cases, but it's like, it's not. And these people, some people that are teaching this stuff, they made it up themselves and they're just doing the best they can.
I have taken the National Food Safety Test in no less than 3 states. There's a uniform test.
Yeah. And there should be. there should be this stuff.
I'm just saying, like, you'd think that there would be a uniform test for this when you're talking about going from college to college, accredited system to accredited system. When you're talking about going from police department to police department,
when we go into police department, I don't say if, but when we go into police departments, we find out that a lot of them get trained by like a local person that comes in and does a PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, what are they teaching you? What are the learning objectives that are put into that course? And they never have an answer. And I'm like, well, I have an online course that has, you know, learning objectives that have been, you know, culled down for 10 years from my partner, been teaching this in criminal justice. And so it's like, I know that what I'm teaching you is good, but they don't have a criteria that they can use to approve my course. So they just keep hiring, you know, Sally from the local, you know, group that comes in and does a class that you have no idea what it is that they're teaching you. And so it's like, I'm frustrated by all this stuff, but it's like, I'm doing everything I can to produce the best material in the best way possible, working with this many experts across the world. And I get shot down by people that do not even have a list of what it is that their staff are supposed to learn. And police don't know either.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, dude, what is it in food prep? It's like, wash your hands, you know, don't be sick, you know, put the chicken away, you know.
Yeah,
what?
No cross-contamination.
Take your gloves off.
32 degrees.
It's all pretty standard, but you would think that there would be something like that. In fact, that's one of the things I really want to do eventually is work with groups and actually come up with those standards. Now, the hospitality course, well defined by the state of Texas, did a great job. It's like, we know exactly what's supposed to be in there, and so we built it around there. And we're seeing Louisiana wants to copy our stuff, which is great. I mean, not our stuff, but Texas laws.
Yeah.
So it's really good to see that. But it's very slow. It's very much a patchwork. And you even saw probably what's going on. We have, I can't remember which state it was, with Iowa or something. They made it so that it's, now you can have 16-year-olds working in factories and things. So they're passing new laws to make it even easier to exploit children.
Yeah. It's
what the hell direction are we going?
Speaking of the standardization, the benchmarks, things like that, what have y'all included in Trapped that kind of helps, I guess, standardize that form of education as far as what trafficking is and how to spot that?
I love that question. So I really spent a lot of time trying to figure out what it was that we were going to put inside of the experience and what the learning objectives are. I worked with a number of instructional designers, and the first thing they said was like, look, you have to define your learning objectives. And I was like, okay, I don't even know what that is. And so I had to do a ton of research on that and then try to figure out what the learning objectives ought to be. So I went to the top, all of the top anti-trafficking groups, and I made a list of all of their red flags, all of their all the risks, all the vulnerabilities, and then I force ranked them with a particular emphasis on Polaris, because they're like the National Human Trafficking Hotline group. And so it's like, I wanted to make sure all of theirs were in there. And so, I made a list, and I have the spreadsheet actually that you can see, and it has like a list of all these learning objectives. And then on the right hand side, every line of dialogue that mentions those things or the scene that you're in. So one of the biggest things is, like, you have to get people to understand that this can happen to anyone, anywhere. So the very first thing the VR thing opens up with is you're in, well, that's the get people used to the VR part, yeah. But you start off in
the suburbs. And it's like,
why am I in the suburbs? And it's like, well, you're in the suburbs because this happens everywhere. So she talks about what it's like to have freedom and just being able to be a kid. And I found out that this kind of environment is what people need. So they kind of get brought into the VR experience of what it's like to be in VR. So we let people have a nice slow experience. And so you can look around and there's police cars around there to kind of give you a little sense of ominousness. But most people are just like, wow, I've never seen anything in VR before. And so we give them a chance do that. Then the next thing we do is we explain that this happens everywhere, can happen to anybody, can happen in lots and lots of different ways. And then we basically show what it's like for her in the place where she's being kept. And so one of the things that I found during my research for this is that people become trauma bonded to their captors, very much like you would expect with Stockholm syndrome or things like that. They feel love for them, but because every so often that person does horrible, horrible things to them, they become addicted to being in love with them, and they're very confused. So a lot of the dialogue that's in there is about her not knowing why she loves this guy, but she does love him, but she doesn't know why she's scared of him, and it's very, very complicated. The topics that are covered, and I have an entire blog about this, but the topics that are covered in here are abandonment, broken families, divorce, parents working too many hours, not getting enough attention from them, screen time. We talk about pregnancy. We talk about physical abuse, sexual abuse, and it kind of just goes on and on. And people are using this to. I was describing this to you earlier. They're using it to get children and adults better prepared for a therapeutic session with a counselor or at their school. So they go through there and they find something they can identify with. So it's like, this is a kid's life, you know, what's it like? And so then when the kids finish take off the headset and they're finished the experience, then they actually talk about the issues that they have. I don't know if I answered your question well
enough. No, you did.
Okay, cool.
You did.
It took a lot of effort. And as I was telling you, one of the things we're doing right now is we're building a domestic servitude simulation. We're using the same environment, but changing the dialogue. And I think that's a really great way to reuse the content and, you know, basically try to make it save money, honestly, to be honest. That's really important to us because we're broke. I pour everything back into this. But it's been really fascinating going. I've done about 4 months of research on domestic servitude, and then trying to turn domestic servitude into a list of learning objectives has been really complicated because there's just not a lot of surveys on this and not a lot of studies and not a lot of data trying to find out what is the most common situation of domestic servitude in America. I mean, I've got multiple advisors that I talk to, multiple survivors. I've looked at all the studies that I can get my hands on, and the evidence is weak as far as trying to find out what the most common situation is. There's tons of anecdotal evidence, and there's tons of people that have been arrested for it.
Oh yeah.
But it's like trying to figure it out. It turns out that it's a young woman from Southeast Asia who comes over to work for a family through the visa system. That's, I can't remember if it's H1A or H2B. And there's other ones too. There's multiple types of visas that you could wind up getting over here on. But, just trying to figure out all that stuff and look at it and be able to say with authority that I built this based on the best data that was available to me.
Yeah.
It's really important to me, but there's just not a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, and the various applications of this technology, and even of, like you said, being able to wash, rinse, repeat the program with the way it's built and everything mm-hmm. else.
Yep.
And being able to change the scenario to different things. It's, right. it's fantastic. And once again, to see you to the point now where it's not just a free download.
That was the original idea.
I know.
Was give it away.
Well, and you know, to an extent, yes. Mm-hmm. However, the Appleseed program that you have now is incredible. Like I said, I've seen this bits and pieces on the internet as things have been built, but to actively see it up on your website now.
Oh, it makes me feel so good.
It makes me feel good as well. And then, like I said, to see you walk up at the door with it, an actual in the hands product, man.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I'm so glad. And I would share that, we got the Appleseed program off the ground due to a grant from Operation Underground Railroad. And they have been our single biggest, sponsor. We've gone up to Utah and done work with them directly. They sent us out to Los Angeles at Tony Robbins' 60th birthday raising money for Operation Underground Railroad.
Wow.
We got to work with them. And that was right before COVID happened. So it was like we were doing really well. But they gave me a call in December and they said, hey, we've got a chunk of money that we want to provide to you. What are you going to do with it? And I did not even blink. I was like, we are going to build an Appleseed program. I need to buy some headsets so I can send them out to people. And the reason for that is that no one understands virtual reality until
yeah.
they put it on their head. That's it. So I just have to get this thing on somebody's head. Then they understand. Then they see the value.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no amount of conversation.
That has been utterly seen over the last few years. And to see your success, to see the as we said on the show numerous times, I can't wait till the day that the FBI starts reaching out to you. I can't wait till the day that these agencies start reaching out to you.
Then I'm going to make you very happy.
I know.
I got a call a few weeks ago from the U.S. State Department.
Yes.
In Washington, D.C. Every year they put out what's called the Trafficking in Persons Report. And it's a big deal because it's an assessment worldwide of all of the different laws and how these people are what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out some countries it's not even illegal. So it's like they don't even have laws on the books. But they called and they said, look, we're going to be releasing the Trafficking in Persons Report late June, early July. We want to know if you can come out here and demonstrate for all the people that are going to be here. And I'm like, you had better believe it. So they're currently we're in the evaluation stage. I sent them a headset. And I'm so excited to say that they got it. And I showed them how to use it.
Did you send it to them for free?
I did. 100% free. That's right. Appleseed program is 100% free. I ship it and I will have you ship it back. So far, nobody's had to ship it back. We've been really fortunate.
That's great.
They keep it and show it to all of their potential donors and the people that would be utilizing it. And we haven't had any boxes returned yet. Now, it's still young. But I have a lot of faith in this because the product sells itself once you put it on your head and you're like, it's this or a PowerPoint or this or a list of things that you give people on paper. It's like there's nothing else like it.
Well, explain to us real quick what comes in the kit.
Okay.
What comes in an Appleseed box whenever somebody goes by?
No problem.
They click the join the Appleseed program, get my Appleseed box.
What they're going to get is they are going to get a box, a nice, pretty box that they can take everywhere. And inside, on the outside of the box, it actually talks about the product itself. So it's like, look, you're going to introduce your trainees to Lisa, and she is going to change their minds about human trafficking. We talk about all the things that you're going to get. And so if you become a licensee, you get any upgrades or improvements that come along with the product. So if we ever do a version for a different language or a version for a different headset, you'll get that product for free. You can train with as many people as you want in any one location. It's kind of a site license. And this, of course, tells some more about the story. And so inside the box, you get, you know, some, I guess I don't have the full unboxing, but basically a little message saying, hey, call me to help you get this thing set up. Then we talk about all the things that are inside the box, all the way down to the lens wipes. You want to use a microfiber on the lens. Do not put alcohol on the lens. It'll ruin it. This talks about the VR product and how it's important. Then we also include online training. So all of your staff will get a certificate course. So you know that your staff is actually been trained and you know what they learned. Then we also include the free version if they want. And then just a little thing that talks about all the other people that are current licensees. I got a couple more states to put on here now, but that kind of gives you an idea of, you know, the things that people need to know. You get a headset included. This headset is, this is the Oculus Quest 1. You get to put it on, you go through the experience itself, and we include some really awesome custom headphones from Direct Sound. We're very excited that they went and made the effort to put our logo on.
I love the VR
on.
Headset specific headphones.
Oh yeah,
with the 1 foot cord.
Yeah, exactly. So it has like a super short cord plug right into it. Then we have some other things, like we have the USB-C charger, some documents. And some candy. Gotta show the love. And then something we had made a little while back. I'm really happy about this. We have little stickers. It's kind of like if you go to the dentist office, you get to have a little sticker that says, Lisa changed your mind about trafficking. And and who knows what other kind of surprises are going to be in there. I made the box really big for a reason. So, you know, every time we get a new licensee, we reinvest in the box. So this weekend, we had gotten... We got a new licensee. We got our Native American tribe, and we took that and put we bought 30 new headsets, and I spent the entire weekend setting them all up, cleaning them. Oh yeah, there's another part of this. So we actually replace the soft foam eye cover with this thing from VR Cover, and it is a sanitary thing that actually comes off. With Velcro. So the Velcro comes off and you can clean that separately because the default one kind of stinks. And, you know, now, like I said, these things they're used and you can get them on eBay for $40. This thing, just this, is $30 to buy the VR cover thing. And they're out of print. So I had to call them and they had pulled them all together from all their different locations. So so that's pretty crazy, but yeah. So that's the box. And once you get it, you show it to other people. Like there's a guy named Colin who has a really small group that he's working with, and he is absolutely in love with this. He says he takes it everywhere, and he's getting people to help him raise the money for the license. And I'll also say that I am not going to let money be the problem. So if a group can't afford to do the full license payment, that's fine. If it's going to take them longer, that's fine. We have three tiers of license fees. So like if you're a small group, my goal is to get it to you as inexpensively as possible. We charge $5,000 right now. That is a forever license. You get to keep it forever and train as many people as you want. You can buy as many headsets over time as you want. Then we have a second, and those are for small nonprofits, high schools and middle schools. Then we have a second tier, which is for a community college or a larger nonprofit, and that's $10,000 a year. And then we have a third tier, which is for universities or job training, and that's $20,000 a year. So if you can afford it, you are helping the smaller people get it.
Wow. And, you know, it... Once again, to see the point that it has come to where you actively have packages now. You have product that you can
multiple
ship out. It's fantastic.
Nine states, I think it is.
It's
now.
So great, man.
It's unbelievable. And we're so fortunate.
Well, even to see the fact that you have been able to go out and change so many lives and change so many minds about human trafficking education, human trafficking prevention. It's just great. It's great.
We're going to, so last year, in May, in Wyoming, there's a group, or there was a conference called the Greater Rockies Immersive Training Conference. And what they did is they used the VR experience as what they called like a case study, so that every session that they were doing that was talking about trafficking from all the different angles, they would always refer back to, well, in the VR, you experienced this. And so it gave everybody a touchstone for the entire conference. So this year, they've asked us to go out and demonstrate it for everybody. I think they're going to have almost 250 people are going to be there, and they want us to put everybody through it. I know. That's how I feel, too.
Wow.
And so we're – and that's where we're going to be debuting the domestic servitude thing, too. So to be able to put people through both experiences if they – if they're into it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I can't
– awesome.
Can't tell you how excited I am about that. I just – I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? And that, and these people are going – I've never been to Casper, Wyoming, but it's a small place allegedly. And so it's like they're going that far to get this immersive training. They are serious about human trafficking. And so I can't thank Terry enough for bringing us on board and getting us out there.
That is fantastic to hear, man.
I'm super excited.
I'm glad that you guys have been able to – get this out to so many more people, that you've been able to license it to so many more people, and that you have been bringing communities together around this. Billy,
it's all
amazing work, man.
I mean, you remember what it was like during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I'm not doing anything with this. I'm working on my online course, and now we're now we're back and we're blowing up, and that's fantastic. I just want to help people with this. This is my life's mission, and I'm not going to give up.
Absolutely. Well, let everybody know where they can go to keep up, where they can go to subscribe to newsletters, where they can go to find your knowledge vault, where they can go to join the Appleseed program and donate this to a school, have you.
Yeah. So if you are really interested in the Appleseed program, you can go to reefcares.org, and it's a nonprofit. It's called Radical Empathy Education Foundation. And the idea is that we are dedicated to educating people about trafficking, period, no matter what it takes. So if you go to reefcares.org, you can sign up to get an Appleseed box sent over to you, or you can help us out by throwing a little money in the donate section, and that'll help us get it out to more people. I mean, just driving across Austin to come here, you know, is not free. You know,
that's right.
Every penny that goes into the donate section on our page really makes a difference and helps us do everything. And then, like I said, during COVID, I started our online course. So we started a new group called PBJ Learning, like peanut butter and jelly. That's kind of the way my partner and I work. He does some and I finish something, and then we go back and forth like that. So we always see ourselves working like peanut butter and jelly. But on our site, pbjlearning.com, you can take our course, our Human Trafficking Essentials course, to understand everything that you need. There's a couple of sample videos that come from the course. It's it works on any browser. On your phone, on your PC, on your tablet. It's done in little bits and pieces, so you can actually I'd like to say that we are respectful of your time. You don't have to sit down for a 2-hour session to do all this stuff. But that's where you go. Sign up on our mailing list on either PBJ or Radical Empathy. And also, as you were saying, we have what's called a knowledge vault. And that knowledge vault contains now 4,500 articles and resources that I personally curated and looked at each and every one of them.
Okay, you beat
things
me.
Things are all well, you know.
You beat me.
I'm not sure. It's not a contest, but everything's categorized.
Okay, it's always a contest.
So it's a contest. Why
it's
not?
Always good. We live in America.
That's right. Step on someone else to win. That's the way it goes. That was on the right there. See, there's my AI drawing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was that's Dave's capstone project.
If all you right.
Just see just how sad it is out there in the world of higher education. But so we put out articles almost every day. We have Twitter and Facebook and all those kind of things to keep up with. And then we post stuff on LinkedIn. But you can always get a hold of me. Call me on the phone 24 hours a day if you want anything. I will happily do email, and you can set up meetings, but you can also just call me. I'm listed everywhere. It's 512-521-8874. 512-521-8874. Call me. I want to talk to you about helping your community and helping you help your community.
Absolutely. Billy, I want to thank you so much, as always, for coming in, man.
It is mutual.
It's always a pleasure to have you here talking about this.
Thank you.
It really is one of the many causes that we've hopped behind over the last many years, and to see you bringing this technology out to the masses now. Absolutely amazing, man. Absolutely
thank
amazing. Thank you, as always, for coming in.
Audience. Thank you so much.
You bet, man. Hold the line while we close things out for this segment. Of course, while you are online, folks, checking out everything from Radical Imp, the Education Foundation, as well as PBJ Learning, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is the website. That is where you can find all the episodes. That's where you can find our store, where you can find all kinds of great things. And you know what? We actively need to put a link to your free thing here in the store.
We have a book coming up soon, too. We're working on a kid's book.
Oh, I love it.
It's going to be an illustrated kid's book. Yeah.
Well, make sure to stop on by CuriousRealm.com/store, as well as our newly curated CuriousRealm.com/videos section, where you can find all of the YouTube channels of our guests. Thank you so much to Billy Joe Kane, of course, for coming in the studio this evening. Thank you so much for Radical Imp, the Education Foundation, and all that you do in the world of trafficking education prevention. It's absolutely amazing to see the strides that have been made there. When we come back from this commercial break, we will be joined by our good friend Craig Woolheater from Crypto Mundo, as well as the Texas Bigfoot Museum, to discuss the upcoming Falk Monster Festival, some of the speakers that will be there, and more right after this, folks. With the rise in attention to the health benefits of cannabis and cannabinoids, including CBD, True Hemp Science has become one of the premier providers of full-spectrum CBD and CBD-related products. Using a proprietary spagyric process, True Hemp Science extracts maximum benefit from the whole hemp plant. Buds, leaves, stems, seeds, even roots. Every part of the plant is used and then reused to formulate a rich, complex profile of CBD, CBD derivatives, and terpenes guaranteed to provide the relief and benefits you need daily. Visit TrueHempScience.com to experience the best CBD oils, edibles, and topicals on the market today. And use code CURIOUS7 to save 7% off your entire purchase of $50 or more, and get 2 25-milligram CBD cookies or brownies free. That website again is TrueHempScience.com, and the code is CURIOUS7. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies.
Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code CURIOUS20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at curiousrealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is curiousrealm.com/store. Well, hello everybody and welcome back. I wanted to hold up this edition of this month's MUFON Journal and show you, like, they're talking about the Chinese spy balloons and the UFO perspectives, and we're very happy to be one of the sponsors of many shows that happen around the country. MUFON is one of those. But tonight joining us is our good friend, Craig Woolheater. He is the founder of the Texas Bigfoot Museum. He is the founder of Crypto Mundo. He is also the progenitor of the Falk Monster Festival, which is coming up April 29th. Curious Realm is a proud sponsor of that show for the second year running. Welcome back to the show, Craig. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Chris. How are you?
Doing all right. So sorry that you're, feeling a little scratchy throat and stuff like that after Vegas. Literally every time I go to Vegas, there's not a single person on the crew that by day two or three isn't a little scratchy or sniffly or something. So, it's a town that just gets you no matter what.
I know there's probably worse things you could come back from Vegas with.
there's a lot worse things,
but
let's say.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but that's not necessarily true.
That's right, unless it's a social thing. I wanted to have you on, number one, to catch up. It's been a long time since you've been on the show to talk with the audience, things like that. But also, we are getting ready to have the Falk Monster Festival coming up in Falk, Arkansas, and I wanted to talk with you a little bit about what it is that brought you to start having these events, because the Texas Bigfoot Conference and the Falk Monster Festival are two of the longest running cryptid events in the entire country. So let's get into that a little bit, Craig.
Well, going way back when I first started the Bigfoot Research Organization and started networking with people in other parts of the country, I started attending events in other parts of the country, Washington, Oregon, Northern California, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and I attended in 2000 the Ohio Bigfoot Conference and Expo, and was really took advantage of the networking opportunities there to meet people from other parts of the country who were interested in, you know, the things that you were interested in. And my own personal opinion is there's nothing better than hanging out with like-minded people with a common interest. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that, because, you know, we're all Bigfoot nerds or whatever. And you know, it's a lot of the conversations are not Bigfoot related at these events, but, you know, you form friendships and relationships with these people and, you know, enjoy hanging out and shooting the breeze with them, regardless of whether it's Bigfoot or whatever subject that you might be discussing. So when I went to this event in 2000, I thought to myself, well, you know, there's nothing like this in Texas. And, you know, I bet I could pull one of these off here. And so, you know, the wheels started turning and the gears were meshing. And so I started, you know, planning an event. And the reason I picked Jefferson, Texas, is actually a lot of people would probably be surprised. It had nothing to do with the Bigfoot reports and such from this area. It was the fact that my folks owned a bed and breakfast in Jefferson. And my mom was on the events committee for the Bed and Breakfast Association, so I had resources to pull from. So that's why it's actually here in Jefferson, the Jefferson Conference, because that's where it got started, and the town has, you know, really embraced the event and the subject. You know, the mayor signed the proclamation in 2018 that Jefferson was the Bigfoot capital of Texas, and, you know, erected a Bigfoot statue in town across the street from the visitor center. And, you know, most of the restaurants here in town have a Bigfoot named or themed item on the menu. And a lot of the stores have, you know, Bigfoot merchandise for sale. And so it's really, like I said, it's really been embraced here in town. And like I said, you know, and the very first one that I held was in 2001. It was actually September 15th, 2001, which was 4 days after 9/11. The event still went off, and we still had about 135 people that attended. And it's generally been an annual event since then. So an opportunity came up to do the same thing for Falk. Over the years, there's been different Falk Monster themed events in Falk that different people have put on. You know, they've came and went for the most part. So, the last one that was officially there, before I started doing anything was in 2015. There was, a group that put it on for, I think, about 3 years there, but then it kind of faded out. And so, in 2018, after the, Bigfoot conference in Jefferson, a lot of times on the Sunday, we'll take a group trip up to Falk, which is less than an hour away from Jefferson. And so we went up there to Falk, a bunch of us, and went up to the Monster Mart, which is a really cool convenience store with a Falk Monster theme and a Bigfoot museum inside and a lot of Bigfoot merchandise. And so we went up there, and it just so happened that the mayor of Falk was there. Mayor Terry Purvis was there at the at the Monster Mart that day. And myself and Lyle Blackburn, you know, know Terry really well. And he was just wondering why we, you know, we had such a large group of people that were there that day. And we said that, you know, we had just finished up the Bigfoot Conference, the Texas Bigfoot Conference in Jefferson. And usually we like to bring people up to Falk. And he lamented the fact that, you know, he wished that they had, you know, still had a Falk Monster themed event there in Falk. And you know, the whole Falk thing, the legend of Bayou Creek, was very influential on me as a young kid. Mm. And seeing the legend of Bayou Creek in the theater in 1973 during its national release. And so I told Mayor Terry, I said, you know what, I would be honored to, you know, to plan an event and host an event there in Falk, celebrating the Falk Monster and, you know, the legend of Boggy Creek and all that. Yeah. And so we put wheels in motion again. And in 2019, held the first one that Lyle and I put together for Falk. And unfortunately, the next year, COVID hit, and Falk was pretty much shut down. So we actually held the event. The event was already planned, and, you know, tickets selling. And so we had to use the convention center in Texarkana because there wasn't any facility in Falk that was open, you know, to the public because of COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
And even then, in to hold it in Texarkana, I had to write an action plan for the
screening people Arkansas on the way in. And
well, yeah, the Arkansas State Health Department, I had to write an action plan to submit to the health department of the state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the things I was going to do, you know, social distancing, groups of people, you know, 6 feet apart, hand sanitizer stations, you know, all these things, you know, signage and mask requirements and all this stuff that, you know, had to be done to have an event with more than 100 people.
Yeah, more than a private gathering.
Yes. So, you know, we had to do this. We had to have a much larger facility so, you know, we could have social distancing. I mean, the seating was so spread out. But, you know, it was in the actual convention center. So it was, you know, a really cool facility. And the hotel that we were working with that is the Holiday Inn, that is they're in the same facility, the same building, is the convention center and the hotel. So we, you know, we had to still use reduced capacity. We could only have a percentage of the, you know, official capacity of the room. But we were able to pull it off successfully and an enjoyable event. And then, you know, since then, COVID restrictions have been softened, and you know, but we still you know, suggest people wear a mask if they feel better, have hand sanitizer around, try to social distance, and you know, we've never had through all of COVID, all of my events have still taken place, and we've never had a COVID outbreak. I've never even had a report of anybody that attended that later came down with COVID. So it's been, you know, been pretty successful and you know, still going strong. So, you know, the town embraces the event there. You know, there's locals that don't like the Falk Monster whole thing, But, you know, Falk is a small town of, you know, just over 800 people. And, you know, tons of people come through Falk every day, you know, because of the Falk Monster and the legend of Bayou Creek and to go to the Monster Mart. So, you know, that town depends on tourism for folks to come in, just like here in Jefferson. Jefferson is a town of less than, well, the official population, I believe, is 1,814 people. And, you know, it's a tourist-based town. And so, you know, you they depend on tourism to support the town. And so, you know, I do my part to host events here in town, not just Bigfoot events, but I also host a UFO convention. I had a car show here that was a couple weeks ago. To you know, to bring people to town to keep the town thriving. It, like I said, it depends on tourism.
And it's interesting sometimes, like you said, not everybody in Falk is all about the Falk Monster. It's interesting to see the parts of communities that do kind of reject and shun those histories. Even I spent quite a bit of time in Salem, Massachusetts, for example, when I lived in Maine. And there's a lot of people that live in Salem, you know, a few schools, all that kind of stuff. And most people, they understand what their town's about, all that kind of stuff. But there's quite a few people that do not like the tourism of it and don't want anybody there for that reason. And it's interesting to see that reaction amongst communities sometimes.
Well, you know, they need to realize that, you know, the sales tax that tourism brings in, the, you know, the hotel and motel tax, you know, those, you know, towns like that depend on that stuff for their, you know, the annual budget and, you know, that goes towards, you know, the infrastructure of the town. You know, people don't think about that, that, you know, maybe your locals and live there don't think about, you know, traffic lights and potholes being filled and, you know, stuff like that, 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 you know, tourism taxes bring in to keep things running smoothly. I mean, you know, a lot of small towns like that, that have these things, you know, like, you know, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, you know, you know, the, like I said, the tax from taxes from tourists, the tourist dollars, you know, people think about, oh, well, you know, the bed and breakfast or the hotels, you know, sure, they're having tourists stay there, so they're making money, but, you know, they pay taxes to the city, you know, that is then used for the city's budget to spread around to, you know, improvements in town and like I said, even filling potholes and, you know, working on the sewers and, you know, these things help pay those things in small towns because, you know, small towns like that, if they relied on merely the locals to fund everything, you know, it wouldn't happen.
People do not realize, as you well know, as my audience knows, I work in the events industry, Craig, and people do not realize the amount of money that brings in for a town. Like when COVID happened, they did a real quick count of what Houston was going to lose within a month and a half of like three major events being shut down. And it was like $130 million in like a month. Because of the hotels that were going to be filled, the tickets that were going to be sold, to the convention center, which is city property, you know,
the people eating at restaurants and
Yep. The food trucks that come in, all that stuff, you know, it really is. It's a major thing. I live in Austin now, and we just got done with South by Southwest. And yes, you know, it's now partially owned by, not InBev, but, you know, their sponsor Budweiser is financially invested in it now, all kinds of things. Sure. It's no longer the buy a t-shirt to come see 25 bands play that it was when I was in high school. Let's put it that way. It's now on an international stage, you know, and that's just it. Some of these things start hitting large audiences, and even Falk Monster Fest has gotten to the point rapidly where
we've had to move to a larger facility where it's going to be at the auditorium for the middle school at Falk now. You know, like I said, Falk is 800 people, so you can imagine, you know, that's a small town. I mean there's not you know, there's a couple of mom and pop restaurants, there's a gas station, there's a couple of convenience stores, there's a you know, there's
there's
one stoplight in town.
Yeah,
it's a one stoplight, and
if you blink, you'll miss it.
Sure, town. Sure, and you know, we bring hundreds of people into town that weekend. We've got a food truck coming in this year that's going to be set up on site. That's going to be serving all kinds of Bigfoot themed menu with based on Indian fry bread burgers and stuff. So it's going to be nice, but. You know, we're going to have the guided Falk Monster tours.
Yeah, the bus tour again
through town. You know, where we point out you know, areas, you know, locations that were in the film, The Legend of Boggy Creek, as well as actual locations of reported Falk Monster sightings, as well as, you know. A nice stop where folks can get out and stretch their legs there, actually on Boggy Creek. So, you know, we just, like I said, try to make an enjoyable event for folks to come in that, you know, grew up, you know, watching The Legend of Boggy Creek or seeing it as a kid, or their parents taking them to the drive-in and scaring the crap out of them and never wanting to sleep or sit next to a window. You know, just
you're going to make me feel bad about some of the movies my kids watched.
and you know, we got Lyle Blackburn, who's, you know, become, you know, Mr. Falk. I mean, has written
expert on the Falk monster.
Yeah, you know, he's written three books about the subject. We've got Chester Moore from down in Orange, Texas, who's, you know, Mr. Outdoors, and who's going to be talking about, you know, strange outdoor encounters in nature, and Jerry Heston, longtime Bigfoot researcher, Jeff Stewart, another outdoorsman with the Bigfoot encounters, to be, you know, talking about that. We're going to be showing the, Small Town Monsters, Boggy Creek Monster, film, after the talks, Saturday. So there's going to be a lot going on, a lot for people to see. And like I said, you know, these events are really good for, you know, meeting other enthusiasts, you know, a lot of the very best friends I have in life are people that I've met through Bigfoot and meeting them at events such as this, and, you know, and sitting out. And like I said, we've got a host hotel where a lot of people will be staying.
Yeah.
in Texarkana, where the speakers are staying, the other people subbing. It'd be a lot of opportunities just to sit around discussing the Phallic Monster or whatever people want to talk about. But sitting around the fire pit outside at night, just enjoying the weekend. And, you know, the camaraderie of Bigfoot.
I know I've told you, I've said it in probably just about every cryptid show that I have done and every bit of coverage that I've done from the cryptid events, amongst all of the communities that I have done events with, from remote viewing to near-death experience, MUFON, the paranormal, the cryptid community, Bigfoot specifically, I think has the most hip-to-hip, we're in this together camaraderie. It is very much an extended family. I know I've said it before. It reminds me a lot of going to Comic-Con. Like, I can go to Comic-Con this year in Houston, where I'm supposed to be speaking, and guaranteed there are 10 vendors there that when I walk up will know who I am.
Right.
You know, because I've been there year after year. I used to go into their comic book shops, you know, stuff like that. And it's just those many, many year camaraderies. The cryptid community, and especially the Bigfoot events, are very much that way. People swap stories. They swap family stories. It's really beautiful to see. It's great.
Well, like I said, you know, there's nothing better than hanging out with like-minded people with a common interest. I mean, that to me, you know, and I've told people for years, as a matter of fact, you know, the nearly 25 years of active Bigfoot research, you know, being in the community that I have, that I've told people over the years that, you know, more than 50% of it is the camaraderie, the gaining friends, gaining, you know, just the, you know, that, like I said, hanging out, and not necessarily, you know, Bigfoot related, other than that's how you met each other. But, you know, yeah. Some of my best friends in life are people that I've met, you know, being involved in Bigfoot research and hosting these types of events and seeing the people that, you know, come from all over the country that, you know, I don't see very often, but I see them, you know, every year when they come to the event. I mean, I've told people, you know, the one good thing about, you know, organizing and hosting a conference is it's a way for me to bring my friends in from out of town, you know, to hang out for the weekend. You know, like, I don't get to see Jeff Meldrum, you know, or, yeah, you know, Cliff Berrickman or Bobo. I don't get to see them, you know, on a normal, you know, basis all the time. But, you know, having a conference allows me the opportunity to fly them in and put them up for the weekend and hang out with them. And
also support their research in that way.
Sure, sure. It's an opportunity to bring my friends to town to hang out, you know, is when you get down just to the nitty gritty of it. And the conference itself is, you know, the means to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's once again, a fantastic, fantastic event, full of community, full of amazing people and speakers. The speakers last year were awesome. When Lyle speaks, especially about the Phallic Monster, it is a charged, almost sermon like delivery. It's amazing. It's great.
Well, he's got a great new presentation for this year where he's, you know, basically dissecting the film, the events, the epic events, that, you know, make up the film, and discussing the real life events that these are based on, you know, the events in the film. So it's going to be a presentation not to be missed. It hasn't been, it's a brand new presentation that he's put together. And like That's I said, awesome. as the author of three books on the subject, like you said, he is the foul monster expert as far as stuff behind the scenes, stuff that went into making the films, all those things. So it's going to be a really cool presentation to see. And Lyle is, you know, he's a performer. He's an electric performer. I mean, he holds the crowd's interest, you know, left hanging on every word. I mean, you know, he's my best friend, but you know, outside of that, he's, you know, he's a rock star. He's, an award-winning author, and a historian. And, like I said, his presentations are definitely not to be missed.
Yeah. It's going to be a great conference. I am truly looking forward to it. Let everybody know where they can go to keep up with the latest on the conference, where they can go to get their tickets, everything that is included in the VIP package, because the VIP is, it's pretty incredible. It's really cool. I get the VIP, from my sponsorship, but
you get the special VIP treatment anyway, but you know, tickets, you know, you can make your reservations online. If you just look on Facebook at the 2023 Fountain Monster Festival, it'll pull up the event page, give the schedule for the page, give everything that's going on, the link to purchase tickets, to purchase bus tours, the guided bus tour. Those are almost sold out.
They do sell out fast. Do not expect them to be available day of, people. Do not.
Oh, no. There's only 12 tickets left spread across.
Wow. That's not I even an, about that's not even an entire tours. Trip of people.
No.
That's awesome.
Each tour seats 14 people for the guided tour. Yeah. And we've got, don't even have that many tickets left total for the whole thing. There's that. There's, like I said, you get to hear Lyle give, you know, a guided tour of you know, points of interest in Falk regarding the movie and actual sighting location. You get to be dropped off and, like I said, get to walk around and on Boggy Creek itself, there's plenty of places, you know, to go to the Monster Mart. You can drive down Highway 71 and stop at the famous Boggy Creek Bridge with the Boggy Creek sign that gets stolen all the time.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Boggy Creek sign will be in place for the Fat Monster Festival weekend. There's many times, like I said, that sign disappears. They have to.
Yeah.
That's probably the most replaced, I know, in the state of Arkansas, the most replaced sign, highway sign denoting a location, because they disappear in the dark of night often. Yeah, Mayor I'll Terry Purvis has to. Mayor Terry Purvis has to replace that one quite often.
Wow. Well, Craig, but I want to thank you for coming on.
You can also look up.
Yeah, go ahead.
To check out Lyle's website, falkmonster.net. And there's a tab there on visiting Falk, where you can camp in Falk and different things. But it's also got a link to, you know, to be able to purchase the tickets through that at falkmonster.net. And that's Lyle's Fountain Monster website with his merchandise, which you'll have at the event, signing and selling books and t-shirts and all kinds of cool stuff. We'll have quite a few vendors that will be selling Bigfoot themed and Fountain Monster themed merchandise. The speakers will have tables and such with their merchandise and such, and selling. Kyle and Jerry will be signing and selling copies of their books. You know, it's a fun event. There'll be plenty to hear about, talk about. I'm sure Lyle will be discussing, talking about any, the most recent Fountain Monster sightings that that's been reported to him. So, you know, for any and all things Fountain Monster related, you know, you'd be amiss. You'd be amiss to miss this event.
Ah, ha ha. You are a clever one, my man.
Well, yeah, I am rather punny.
I can't thank you enough for coming on. Number one, for putting these events on every year. I support them and I sponsor them because I find them important to the communities that are out there.
And your sponsorship is very important to the continuance of these events, as well as your technical skills, because folks, Chris is also our audio video guy for these events, and it's an invaluable service. You know, having, you know, going back all the way to the first event that was held at a fellowship hall in 2001 at the Methodist Church here in Jefferson, where I had to go rent a projector to show the presentations on. I think I paid in 2001, I think I paid $250 to rent a projector to be set up to show the presentations. I mean, and Daniel Allen Jones, who is always at the events and always helps out and has done audio video for us for years. But, you know, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
Christopher Jordan is a professional. This is what he does for a living. Is not only does he, you know, hang out at the cool Bigfoot events, but, you know, he does. It's got to be multi-million dollar events.
Getting weepy.
Weekly. You're all over the country going and not just attending these events or speaking at these events, but you're doing all the technical gear to make sure these events run smoothly. Yeah. And you need, people need to appreciate that well.
Thank you.
As to appreciate your technical know-how and your expertise to help these events come off smoothly. Because believe me, I've got 20 plus years of doing these on a shoestring budget and, you know, having to send somebody to Walmart to get a patch cord for the presentation that night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, you provide an invaluable service, and I can't thank you enough to not only have you sponsor my events and come and do what you do, but also to be a great friend. Well,
I appreciate that so much, Craig. Likewise, it's great to have you there to be able to just talk with and everything else. And as I've told you before, like I told the Klinger brothers and anything, and even Paranormal Roundtable, anything I can do to help bring these events to a larger audience, anything I can do to help make them bigger and better tech wise, that's why I'm here on this earth. So,
and not only that, but you are much appreciated.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate the time, and I can't wait to be there in person to see you, to hang out again. It's been way too long since we even chatted. But before we go, once again, let everybody know where they can go to get their tickets, where they can go to keep up with everything, all that kind of good stuff, Craig.
Okay, well, first of all, you can go to Lyle's website, which is falconmonster.net. And there is a festival tab on there, so you can get the information on the event itself. You can also browse Miles merchandise. You can find out where you can camp for free during the event if you want to camp for free in a location where there have been sightings of the Fountain Monster. So there's all kinds of information on fountainmonster.net. It will take you to the page on Eventbrite where you can register for the event. You can also find out information on the tours, the bus tours. You can see which tours still have seats available. On Facebook at the 2023 Monster Fest page.
All right. Well, Craig, can't thank you enough, my friend. Please do hold the line while we close things out with the audience. While you are online getting your tickets for the upcoming Falk Monster Festival in Falk, Arkansas, please do make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is the website. That is where you can go to catch all the episodes. That's where you can go to watch the live stream. That is where you can go for our store. All those books he was talking about by Lyle Blackburn, right there in the store, along with great books by King Gerhardt. Some other amazing guests have their books there in our store, as well as our newly reconstructed videos page. Stop on by and check that out. CuriousRealm.com/videos. If you're looking for somewhere to check out all of the YouTube channels of our guests, we conveniently have them embedded right there on our website. You don't have to go anywhere but CuriousRealm.com to get all your content, everybody. Thank you always for tuning in. Thank you always for being a part of the audience, for being a part of the greater conversation. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And remember, everybody, stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.